and vote. You are now listening to the host of Where I Belong, the Frog King himself, David Corbo.
What's up, guys? I love that intro, man. Big shout out to Colin Metzger. Colin Metzger of Voice Monster Edits, man. Very cool. Very happy with that. And shout out to Chase Lepard for tossing the music over it, because I'm just a little too stupid. What's going on, guys? How was your week? How's your weekend going? It's Sunday, right? Sunday the 20th. January is almost over already, which is kind of crazy because once we hit this point, I start doing a little bit of a calculation where I'm like, if it's February 20th, if it's January 20th, we're for all intents and purposes, it's February. So it's February 1st, and things start getting nice in about April, right? So if it's February, March, April, we got 2 months left of winter. That's the way I see it. Over here on the East Coast, it sucks. Winter sucks. I mean, I get it. Some people are a fan of it, right? So I can't knock that, but it just bums me out so much, man. It's not fun at all. I'm over the snow. I'm not a fan of the snow anymore. That stopped when I was getting days off of school for snow. Now it's just a problem. Coming into the weekend, the weather report was saying we were supposed to get upwards of 30 inches. Excuse me, sorry. Upwards of 30 inches. And I'm not a fan of that, man. I'm not a fan of that. But we didn't end up getting all that. Instead, we got, I don't know, I haven't been outside yet. I should be out there shoveling and shit like that, but I'm just putting it off. What is this? Oh, give me a second. Be sure to allow access to your camera and microphone. No, I'm not trying to do all that. I just want to see if I can get my... No. Anyway. Yeah, so we were supposed to get all this snow. We didn't end up getting all this snow, but I did wake up this morning and all the trees were covered in ice because it snowed and then it rained and then it's going to drop to 0 degrees on Monday, which is tomorrow. So after this podcast, I'll be out there just shoveling. I've got a, what would you call that? Snowblower. But it's an electric snowblower. It doesn't work very well once the snow gets to a certain height, so that's kind of a bummer. But what are you going to do, man? Other than that, it's been a crazy week. Got my tax returns the other day. And it was only until I got my tax returns, or not my tax returns, when I got my forms, whatever you would call it, did I realize that the government shutdown might be an issue all of a sudden. Because I'm the type of guy that, like, no matter how uppity we get about the presidency, right, it never really affects me. So, like, if Obama was great or if Obama wasn't great, beats me, bro. Got no idea. Nothing changed in my life. It was all the same. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be aware of who the president is. I'm just saying that people get uppity. Like, there's that one chick in the middle of whatever the fuck that Tiananmen Square, that bitch that when when Trump got voted into office, she was on her knees and she did the dramatic no. And I'm thinking, bitch, go to work. Shut up. What are you doing? You're in the middle of fucking wherever you are on your knees and you're screaming to the sky. You know, you just want that internet clout. You want to get on that video. You want people to watch you do that. You thought it was a good move. Now you're a fucking meme. You know what I mean? That person becomes a meme. But I wonder, you know, that sort of response versus what the actual, what actually happened. You know, I'm not saying that Trump is a good guy or anything like that. I'm just saying that I want to reserve those no moments where I scream into the sky for when, like, the apocalypse is rolling in. You know what I mean? Those moments are reserved for, and I don't even know if I'd do it then, but, like, you know, That's, you drop to your knees and you do the no when North Korea has announced that there's a nuclear missile on its way. You know, that's when you break down and you give the, you shout to Zeus at the top of your lungs. But what I will say is, once I got my tax forms, whatever, and I said, oh shit, I can't actually process this stuff because of the government shutdown. Then I was like, you son of a bitch, man. Then I got mad. But I think I saw something from the IRS that was like, we're going to be processing stuff as early as the 28th. So, going to get that tax money, boys and girls. As soon as the 28th rolls around, I'm the first one in line. But I was shook for a moment. I was like, dude, what are you going to... Because that's how you want a riot? That's how you get a riot. You don't want to give us back our tax money? That's what happens. Other than that, a pretty boring week. I'll tell you one thing happened to me yesterday, because I'm just a dummy, just a special kind of dummy. So I'm talking to my boys, Chase Lepard, Nathan Baird. Somebody made a dark joke. Somebody sprinkled a little dark humor in our chat. And I said, I'm going to call the cops, you know, like a joke. Like I'm calling the cops. You know, it's just some sarcasm, some over-the-top silliness. But I thought real quick, I was like, ooh, what would make that funnier? What if I took a picture with my phone of me dialing 911 on the house phone? Now, I'm so used to a cell phone, like the number doesn't dial or the number doesn't go through until you hit send. And so whatever I did on the house phone, I think I pressed talk first and it got the dial tone. And then I hit 911 and then it fucking rang. Because that's what happens when you dial 911. It rang, dude. It rang once and I heard it and I went, holy shit, and I hung up the phone. 30 seconds later, the phone rings. Hi, did you dial 911? I said, yeah, I did. But what had happened was I was trying to be funny with my boys, and I thought that it would be funny to, and you could just hear, she's not even speaking, but you could hear the skepticism just eking through the phone. And so I said, yeah, you know, it was an accident. I was just being silly, and that's what I ended up doing. And she goes, yeah, well, we're still gonna have to send somebody out there. Shit. So now I gotta go out into the living room, explain to my wife that I'm an idiot, I'm a grown baby man, and that I've got to wait around for the police to show up so that I could explain to them that I didn't really want to call the cops. I was just trying to be funny with my buddies. So now I'm waiting. I'm just sitting around. I'm waiting, you know, for the cops to pull up out front. My wife's just shaking her head. And they pull up and I go outside to greet them, which is alarming, right? Because now I'm walking down my driveway to try to intercept you. And if I was guilty of something, then I wouldn't want you to see what was going on in my house, right? That's the bum. That's the bad move. So I realized that real quickly as I'm talking to this dude in my driveway. I'm like, I look like such an, like, I look like I'm avoiding. Like, no, we can have a conversation out here. We don't need to get close to my house. So I could tell by the way he's looking at me that he's just not buying it. And I go, do you want to, like, talk to my wife? So my wife comes down the stairs. He goes, yeah, yeah. She comes down the stairs. And she's, yeah, well, you know, he's a jokester. Hits him with that line. Sounds like a woman who's being beat. You know, and he winds up being satisfied and he leaves. But just dumb. Just dumb. I haven't accidentally dialed 911. I don't think I've ever accidentally dialed 911. Even as a child, I've never done that. So I'm regressing. I can't even say that I'm regressing because I didn't do that as a child. I'm just getting stupid. But yeah. So basically, I ended up making an ass of myself, all for a stupid joke. And it's funny because when the police show up, you're racking your brain. Like, am I doing anything illegal? You know what I mean? Like, I don't smoke weed. Not out of choice. It's just like, I just don't have it around, so I don't smoke it. So there's no weed in my house. I know there's some whiskey in my house. I'm like, shit, the whiskey. I'm not 18. I can have whiskey. Okay, that's not a problem. So I'm just going through things. What's in my house? What's going on? Does my kid have pants on? Is it illegal for him to not have pants on? Just a bunch of things that scare you. You know, it's like when a cop is behind you and you've not done anything illegal, but you're still worried. You know, same thing. So that was fun. Yeah, other than that, not much, man. Not much. Been a quiet week. Just trying to, just get to work, and that 4 a.m. wake up is killing me. But it is what it is. You gotta do what you gotta do, baby. Right? So let's get into this questionnaire. I did a questionnaire last time. And as silly as it sounds, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing the questionnaire, and so I thought I'd do it again with some different questions and try to mix in some fun ones and some serious ones and just kind of get to riffing a little bit. But so I went to improv.com and I pulled up funny questions, and I also went to what is this, conversationstartersworld.com. And I pulled up personal questions. So we'll start with a few funny ones. I'm going to skip over the crap ones that I don't like. Like, what's the funniest name you have actually heard used in the real... That's a hard thing. What's the funniest name you've ever heard used? Like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I know some names are weird. You know, when you get nicknames. Like how they get Dick from Richard. Like, that's a given. It's a strange one. But I don't know. Other than that, that's really... I like this one, though. Number 5 is, if you could replace all of the grass in the world with something else, what would it be? So, I was thinking about moving to Texas because I hate yard work. I can't stand it. I don't like cleaning up after nature. That sounds like such a bitch thing to say, but it just is. I just can't. I hate it. So even right now, like the snow that's out there, I've got a long driveway, so what I've done is I've parked all the way at the end close to the street. That way, I only have to shovel out enough to get the cars out, and then I just make a narrow path from the end of the driveway by the street all the way to the front door. Not shoveling the rest of it. It's not happening. So I just hate cleaning up after nature. You know, raking leaves is a bummer. If I had it my way, I wouldn't have trees on my property. I don't know that I would even want property. You know, grass is stupid. I have to give it a haircut every, whatever, once every 2 weeks, something like that. That's stupid. Why would I want to do that? All the things that I have to do in my life, why would I want to stop and give the lawn a hair? What? That's too much, man. I don't want to have to do that. So, instead, I like Texas. I was looking at Texas because I know the humidity is real high there, but I like the heat. Don't like the winter. I just get out of shape. I get atrophied during the winter because I don't do anything. You know, during the summer, I'm out running miles. I'm working out, you know, doing a bunch of fun stuff. Going on walks and hikes and going swimming and all that fun stuff. You know, I'm very much, very active during the summer. As soon as winter hits, I've made this, like, internal scheduling where, like, my body goes into hibernation. You know, that's what you call that. Like a bear. As soon as winter hits, I'm like, I'm done. Put on that winter bod, pull that bad boy out of the closet, slap that on, you know, and just suffer in silence. And then as soon as, you know, April hits, as soon as it gets nice enough to run, I was talking to my buddy Eric Lundy, who is of HoloLegs Comics. It's an app on the iPad. And I did a previous episode with him. Go check that out. He's a great guy. And Eric was telling me that he stops running at about 30 degrees. Like, 30 degrees is about too cold for him to run. My threshold is way before that. I'm talking, like, 50 degrees. As soon as 50 degrees creeps in, I'm done. I like a hot run. I like a 90-degree day run. Because I like sweating it out. you know, once it gets too cold, I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that. So, you know, once the cold weather is, it rolls in, it really shuts me down. But what was this question? If you could replace all the grass in the world with something. Well, what I was saying before I go on to that is Texas was cool because everything's dead. All the trees are all the trees are dead. All the grass is dead. And so there's nothing to take care of. Shit gets wet sometimes. Big deal. Water goes wherever water goes when it's done being water. You know, I'm cool with that. But I like it because I like, you know, dirt. That's cool. And not that I would replace all the grass in the world with just dirt. But this is a dream of mine since childhood, was to replace either the grass in the world or the streets or the sidewalks. We'll go with the sidewalks. They have to be pretty wide for this to work out. But maybe if you just if it's stretched from the front of your house to the curb, I want that all to be trampolines, baby. Trampolines. You ever jump on a trampoline and just get winded, worked out? Your whole body's getting worked out. Maybe not your arms. Kind of. Maybe if you're getting silly, get some arm works out. If you're crawling around like a bear, get some arm workout. But even if you're not getting silly, man, that's core and legs all day. And it's so fun. It's so fun. I just think about all the times that I've been walking someplace, right? And how far could you get in a single bound if you've got some momentum behind you versus how many steps it would take to clear that same area? You get pretty far. You get pretty far. You know, so you get a great workout. You'd have a lot of fun. People would be athletic as fuck. You know? Because there's a whole subset of the of society that doesn't have a vehicle. So right there. A squeaky ass chair. I'm sorry, guys. Right there, that's a whole subset of society that's in shape. If you're not crippled and you have no vehicle, and you want to go down to the Quick Check or whatever it is that you guys have in other places of the world, if you want to go down to that corner store, you know, you want to get that sandwich, you want to get that Gatorade, whatever it is, you want to go and get that Dutch, you got to jump, bro. Got to jump. You got to jump all the way there. You clear some ground. I think you'd be surprised. You start picking up momentum, and it's only forward bounds. Man, I think you'd get places real fast. I think you'd be in phenomenal shape. And it would just be a blast. Now, as far as maintaining just, you know, endless square footage of trampolines, I don't know. It's not my job, right? I don't worry about it now. The roads, who worries about that sort of thing? The president, right, brings you back to the shutdown. That shit's not getting fixed. Which all, you know, it's a bad time for that shutdown to be happening right now because it's winter over here. And during winter, these plows, because, you know, we just haven't hit the next level of society yet. Where we've got all this snow on the ground, and instead of coming up with some just Elon Musk way of clearing it, like heated roads or something, which is apparently that's a thing in some places, but for now, we're just scraping that shit off. Which I get it, right? What do you got a better solution, Dave? No. No, I don't. But in the meantime, we're just scraping that shit off. Just dragging big spoons along. And what happens is you're going to catch some shit. You're going to rip giant holes out of the asphalt. Now you got potholes. And those bad boys will destroy your tires. I'm talking destroy your tires. I've blown a tire a few times on potholes. Not fun. Big bummer. You know, big bummer. Blew the whole sidewall, the tire out. And so, you know, infrastructure is all government employees. And they're not doing anything right now. So I just wonder how that's going to look in the long run if we're going to have potholes for a lot longer. But as it is right now, we got potholes that stretch into summertime. Nobody fills them shits. You know, it's just, they just continue to be a hazard. What the hell was I talking about? Trampoline upkeep. If you had to choose an animal to help you win a fight, what animal would you choose? What are we talking, like a fist fight with another dude? Man, that's open, right? That's a whole lot of picking. You know, you can go with things that are bipedal, humanoid, kind of a, like a gorilla, right? That's intimidating. That's intimidating, but you ever see a man get kicked by a horse? Puts you out. puts you out like a light. You know? That might be better, too, because a gorilla will probably kill you. And it insinuating that the gorilla was on my side and he knew, like, I was cool and he wasn't going to do it to me. You know, I would just have to watch after that as this gorilla just tore this dude to pieces. But a horse, do that one hitter quitter move, you know, boom, hit him with that back leg buckshot and put him out like a light. And then he wouldn't eat him or tear him apart. He's a horse. He'd just walk away. You know, you never really see a horse go back for more. You know what I mean? You see like a cheetah. A cheetah is there to finish the job. You know, he's not just messing with you and then leaving you alone. A lot of animals, the alligator's there to finish the job. A horse? You know, I've even seen bulls. They'll go back and they'll continue to gore, you know, with the old head swords. But horses are that cool guy in that fight video from World Star Hip Hop that hits him with the right, lets him drop, walks away. You're like, damn. That's what a horse is. Horse eye are that World Star Hip Hop one hitter quitter. They just drop them and walk away. Maybe a horse. I like that. A horse. As long as it starts to fight backwards. But they'll bite the shit out of you, too. I've seen that. I've seen horses bite people. And just, shwink. You ever see that one video where that little girl is sitting on the side of a boat and a seal just hops up, bites her by the ass meat, and drags her into the ocean? Wow. That's terrifying. And I think some of the dudes in that video do exactly what you would do in that situation. Was like, I'm going into that water as quick as that little girl went into that water. I'm right after it. I'm piecing that seal up, punching him straight in his stupid seal eyes. And they got teeth. But that's pretty much all you got to watch. You know, that's all you got to watch out for when it comes to a seal. Is just watch out for the teeth. Other animals are like, watch out for the claw, watch out for the legs, you know, all this stuff. Nah, just watch out for the teeth. They can't really do anything but bite you. You know, you could uppercut them in the stomach. You could wrap them up from behind, maybe even get them in a rear naked choke. It's got no claws to defend. Just choke them. Choke that seal right in the ocean. And then save that little girl. If you can morph, you can morph two animals to make one super animal, what would it be? Ooh. I mean, you know, mythology's already done that for us. They've made the coolest ones. I'm not going to make anything cooler than a griffin. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make anything cooler than a chimera? Where it's, well, that's three animals. That's cheating. I'm not going to make anything cooler than a goat man. You know, not much is cooler than a goat man. Not going to make anything cooler than a minotaur, which is probably cooler than a goat man. But let's see, right? What are the coolest things that animals can do? Some animals can fly. That's cool. I like a flying animal. I like an albatross. That's the biggest, excuse me, that's the biggest, it's the biggest bird is an albatross. I think second runner up is the golden eagle or the harpy eagle. I think actually the harpy eagle would be third, the golden eagle is second, but the first biggest bird in the world in regards to wingspan is the albatross. Apparently they can cross entire oceans in a single flight with having only flapped their wings a surprisingly low number of times. I'm not going to guess at that number because I'm not very smart, but albatross are super cool. They're unbelievable. I think their wingspan is, you know, I got the internet here, boys and girls. We could actually do some Googling albatross wingspan. But yeah, albatross is very cool. So as far as flying birds, or so as far as flying animals go, I'm picking the albatross as my starter. Let's see real quick, because it's gonna pull it up for me. I'm gonna tell you what that wingspan is. 11 feet. 11 feet wide. See, I was going to guess 14 feet. I'd have been definitely talking out of my ass there. Biggest bird. Oh, they're going to tell me something stupid like the fucking ostrich. The ostrich. The emperor penguin's on there, huh? The cassowary. I don't know what a cassowary. Emu. the Emperor Penguin, the Great Rare. Man, I've... largest living flying birds according to wingspan. See, that's messed up, because I said, okay, here we go. Largest flying bird. Don't give me the fucking... the penguin, it can't fly. The largest, heaviest flying bird today is the Kori Bustard. Bustard of Africa. Male weighs 18 kilograms. I don't know that, you know, what that means. Females about half that. Largest bird ever to fly were the Pterotaurans, a type of condor. I'm talking about today, you stupid. So stupid. Really, I'm just looking for something to confirm what I just said. All right, I'm not into all this stuff that doesn't line up with my opinions. Unbelievable. They're going to tell me a bunch of stuff. What's your wingspan, you stupid? Unbelievable. So anyway, I'm going to say albatross because I feel good about that. Now, what would be cool to combine with an albatross? Right? Maybe like I want a whale. I want a blue whale. That's very little wings. All right, well, I want to scale up those albatross wings to be able to carry a blue whale. Imagine looking up in the sky. Whales terrify me because they're like megalithic, right? Like there's a certain size that things get to that are unsettling. Like when you first go to New York City, when I first went to New York City, I wasn't very pleased with it. I was not very happy because something about the size of the buildings is just unsettling. You look at that and you go, that's not sustainable, man. Like, who did that? Why would you do that? You know what I mean? It's very strange. But whales are a different story because when you're in the water with something that's that big, and the ocean itself is terrifying. You know what I mean? It's like so dark and mysterious, and it's like you might as well be in outer space. You know, and then space is terrifying. Right? So now you're in outer space, and there's this living building just cruising next to you. I don't like that at all. I don't know what it is. It's just so, it's like nauseating to think about. If there's a phobia, not a phobia, I don't like, everybody's got a phobia about something, right? I'm afraid of fucking silverware. Everybody's got this phobia. You know what? I'm about to do something really terrible here. Hold on a second. Let's scale this back. Oh, no. What I've done here is I've tried to... don't ever do that, man. I tried to open up the chat here so I could see the chat. I wonder if this is going to mess with my live stream. Oh well, I got to pee real bad, but I'm going to be a normal human being about it. So yeah, if you could scale that wing size up, and look, somebody actually said albatross has a 12-foot wingspan, raw snapshot, thank you, brother. Then I would want to do that. I think that's probably the coolest thing. That's probably the coolest thing to do. But let me go, whatever the next thing was. What's the largest flying bird? I'm sorry, guys. I'm a mess over here. I'm trying some new stuff out. What movie would be greatly improved if it was turned into a musical? Damn. That's not my alley, man. I don't know. I don't like musicals. The only musical I ever liked was probably the South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, which technically is a musical. And you toss a couple of Disney bad boys in there, like Moana. I can't get enough of Moana. I've watched Moana a disturbing number of times. It's just such a good movie. It's the same movie, I realized, practically, except minus the white man invading, of Pocahontas. It's Pocahontas. You know, where it's like Pocahontas is the daughter of the village chief. So is Moana. That's actually part of the song. Moana's mom's not dead, although Pocahontas' mom is dead. There's the little animals, right? Moana has the chicken and the, man, what was that other thing that she had going on? Piggy. It was a piggy. Pocahontas has the raccoon and the hummingbird. Moana's wise grandma figure is grandma. Pocahontas' wise grandma figure is the tree, who's basically a grandma. And they both have this desire to find out what's just beyond their point of vision in the water. You know, so Pocahontas wants to explore, and it's always about what's around the river bend, right? What's just beyond your frame of reference for this body of water for whatever reason. And then Moana's is like, what's just beyond the horizon line, you know, in that dope ass song. And I watched Pocahontas the other day with my son. Super disturbing. It was super disturbing, man. It was like, you know, like there's none of the music in Pocahontas is good except for Painting with All the Colors of the Wind and What's Just Around the River Bend, which are killer songs, right? They're fantastic. But Moana's, the whole thing is filled with bangers. Moana is the best, one of the best Disney movies in regards of music that I've ever seen. And some of the really bad songs in Pocahontas where they have like this mashup where it's like all of the invading Europeans are singing whilst all of the Native Americans are singing. And all of the Native Americans, like, literally the song is like, death to the white man. And then you flip over to the invading Europeans, and they're like, fuck all these savages. It's really intense. So, you know, that's something that, what were we talking about? Musicals and why I like them. Yeah. But if there was a movie that I would want to see turn into a musical, this is not really any of them. And why? Just because I don't want to. If you could choose a musical artist to marry, but could never listen to their music again. Whoa. So you're just basing it off of attractiveness, right? Like, who's an attractive artist who also you don't give a shit about their music? Shakira's gorgeous, but I don't know if I could do without that Shakira banger. You know, I don't know how my life would pan out if I didn't have that. I gotta pee so bad, but I'm trying not to be a disgusting animal and pee on camera again. So I don't know, not Shakira though, because that's kind of a cop. That's you never go with your first thought, right? So if there was like a runner up, like who's a babe whose music I could do without? Dude, that's hard. I don't know. That's a silly question. If your 5-year-old self suddenly found themselves inhabiting your current body, what would your 5-year-old self do first? Wow. 5 years old? I don't think that the body would be the major focal point. Like, if he came to and he looked around, he was like, look at this shitty body, that's cool. I think he'd probably look around and be like, oh snap, look at this Xbox One, you know, this big TV, this cell phone. The cell phone would blow my mind. I think he would do what any 5-year-old does, which is if you give them technology, they go into a wormhole and they don't talk for 3 days. That's what he would do. He would find Angry Birds on the iPhone, and it would be a wrap for a long time. And then after somehow I got bored with the Angry Birds, I would just discover the internet. And that would be equally amazing. I would YouTube everything. Taylor Swift. Oh, Raw Snapshot said Taylor Swift. I don't know that... Taylor Swift is pretty, but I don't know that that it's enough. I don't know that it's... Well, for sure, don't give a crap about Taylor Swift music, right? So that would kind of be a given. But yeah, I would YouTube everything. Except I would have people YouTube everything for me, because at 5 years old, I probably couldn't read and all that other jazz. So, oh my God, I got to pee so bad. It's just, I made a mistake, guys. I made a mistake. What is something everyone looks stupid doing? What is something everybody looks stupid doing? That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Yeah, I don't know. My mind is so juvenile. It's like pooping. Everybody looks stupid pooping. But I got to analyze that, because that's not true. You're just having a seat. You know, you're just having a seat and you're on your phone. You don't necessarily look stupid. So I don't know. I don't know what everybody looks stupid doing. Have you ever sent a text message to the wrong person? Sure have. Everybody does that. But not anything that's worth... not anything that's worth my time discussing. Have you ever caught something on fire while you were cooking? No, but I have accidentally caught someone's house on fire while sitting at it. Yeah, one time I was at some lady's house, and I think I've told this story before, but she was kind of the neighborhood aunt, which is never a safe title to have, right? If you're like the neighborhood aunt, like, I'm the aunt to all the kids in the neighborhood, something's wrong. She didn't have kids of her own, another big red flag. But she used to, and when I describe it like this, it probably is as innocent as it could be, which is, she would have all the kids get together, and she would basically say, do my yard work, pull all the weeds, mow the lawn, you know, all that stuff, rake the leaves, blah, 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 blah. And you can go in the in-ground pool, because she had an in-ground pool. And she lived in the corner of a very popular park that I spent a lot of my childhood at. And so it was only a matter of time until we came into contact with her, because you walk past her house every single day, and her backyard is pretty much the park. And one thing led to another. She got a bunch of slave kids that would pull all the weeds for her, which is not, you know, I think that's a pretty solid deal. Pull all the weeds, because she was an older lady. And it probably was, you know, my childhood was very much kind of that typical suburban childhood where I'd ride my bikes all day with my friends. We'd go to the same park all the time. We'd meet up there. All the people in the neighborhood, like, we didn't know them by name, but they all knew us because we had the same group of kids all the time. And yeah, so, you know, this is kind of like, I guess, a normal thing to happen. But like I said, she had a gang of kids that were pulling weeds and mowing lawns and stuff. So she had it all set up. But one day I was waiting for her to come back from work, and me and my other buddy are sitting on her porch, and one of my buddies, like, puts down a pile of charcoal. She had some charcoal for, like, a grill laying on a bag on the porch. So he puts it down in the concrete patio of the porch, and he sprayed some sort of, looked like a pesticide, you know, one of those long nozzled spray canisters, and sprays it on the charcoal and lights it on fire. I don't remember if it happened like that easily, like if it was intuitive. He was just like, I know this shit's gonna catch up in flames, so this will be cool. But whatever happened, he does that, and it, you know, catches on fire. Okay, cool. And then we try to put it out by putting water on it, and it just doesn't go out because it's, you know, a highly flammable liquid. And so what ends up happening is we panic, and we run to the backyard to get towels. We throw the towels in the pool, and we come back with soaking wet towels, and we start slapping. You know, it probably would have worked if we just laid, maybe, if we laid the towels over it and just smothered it. But instead, we started slapping this pile of charcoal, which immediately scatters the charcoal that's soaked in flammable liquid. Next thing you know, there's, like, patio furniture catching on fire. Her vinyl siding is catching on fire. The house is going up in flames. Holy crap, man. And this dude comes over with a power washer. He happened to be power washing his fence. And he rolls over and he starts power, you know, hosing down the fire and telling us to run. He just told us to run. And I think because he knew us enough and he didn't want us to get in trouble, because we never got in trouble for it. Whatever happened that day, we never got in trouble. I was very young, very little. And so, yeah, that guy saved our ass. But no, I've never caught anything on fire while I was cooking, but I have set a house on fire once, and that was a bummer. What is something that is really popular now, but in five years, everyone will look back on it and be embarrassed by it? TikTok. TikTok is like this weird, I guess it's an app, but it's basically this thing that promotes lip syncing. And it's not just lip syncing of music, it's like lip syncing of maybe different movie scenes and stuff. So it's all these douchebags dressing up in whatever. Some of them are cool, I'll give it to them. Some of them, every once in a while, you'll strike one and you go, oh, that's actually pretty well done. But a lot of them are garbage. A lot of them are really cringy. That's the big thing from TikTok, is it's super cringy. And, but yeah, I think it's just, people are going to look back on this, especially it's a lot of young kids right now. They're going to look back and they're going to see themselves dressed up as some kind of, like, half-ass cosplay lip-syncing one of their favorite shitty songs that's going to, you know, everyone's going to realize it was garbage 5 years from now, and they're really going to cringe at that. But what is a big, what is something that I like a lot is TikTok flops. If you ever have time to look up TikTok flops, that shit is really funny. It's failed TikToks. Man, I'm going to pee myself. Oh, squeaky chair. Yeah, TikToks suck. What is your most embarrassing moment from high school? Man, I actually did have a really embarrassing moment when I was in high school where this was one time this really pretty girl, I don't remember really what she looked like. I know she had nice hair. And it's amazing how far you can get with nice hair, because I thought she was gorgeous because her hair was beautiful. I can't remember her face though, but her hair was nice. And just like a white girl with like kind of like a light brunette, I think. She was really pretty. She was really pretty. And I went to a school that was a lot of people. You know, I don't know how many towns were going to this one school. Fords, Woodbridge, Casby, Hope Lawn, Port Reading, Sea Warren. Did I say Woodbridge? If I didn't say Woodbridge, it's about 7 or 8 different towns going to one school. It was incredibly populated. I came from a school that was one place. It was Carteret. Carteret was one fucking place. It had, you know, Carteret High School. That was it. Everybody that went there, you knew them from elementary school. You knew them from middle school. And now you know them in high school. I moved. I went to Woodbridge High School. 7 or 8 different towns in one school. It was insane. There was no way that you could have, like, a lot of personal relationships, especially coming into it so late in the game. I showed up sophomore year. I don't know what that has to do with anything. So anyway, I would see this girl a lot, and I thought she was really pretty, but I never really talked to her. And one day we had this, what would you call it, where you get together in the gym and you sit in the bleachers and there's like some sort of a talk, whatever. They were my favorite thing when they announced them. Like, when you found out you were going to have one of these things, you were like, yes, because you got out of class and you got to just shoot the shit for a while. So anyway, I'm in this thing, and it just hadn't been set up yet. I don't know what was going on, now that I think about it, because there was no rhyme or reason. We were all just chilling and talking, and I don't even remember anybody standing at a podium. But either way, this girl comes over, and it's this girl that I had seen a few times. I thought she was really pretty, but I never really communicated with her. And she sits right on my lap. Like, just boom, right out of the gate, just sits on my lap, right? So I'm like, fucking score, bro. This is awesome. So now my job is to be cheeky and charming and just make sure that she thinks this is a good move. You know, so I look cool. I've got this pretty girl on my lap. Don't even know her name. Nothing like that. But now I'm just trying to up the charm, you know, try to retain this situation. And it all went off really well. And the bell rang, and we had to get up and go our separate ways. And it's kind of a weird thing for her to have done that, but I don't know. High school was a weird thing. And so I don't know. I didn't think it was weird at the time. I was just like, oh, cool, here's your moment. So I thought I did a good job, right? Whatever. I was joking. I was, you know, just trying to be slick, trying to be cool. And so what ends up happening is, you know, Facebook is real early at this point. Sophomore year was probably, if I was 15 years old, so it was 2005. So Facebook was, damn, no way, 2005. Well, whatever it was, I know Facebook was a thing, and I tried to find this chick on Facebook. So what also was a thing at this time was finding people on Facebook was creepy. It was creepy to do that. It was considered like stalking. Like, if you got hit up from somebody from school on Facebook, you're like, oh, this person's stalking me, right? I didn't take that. I don't know why. It's such a stupid thing. But, you know, like I said, this girl comes out of left field, sits on my lap, stays with me for this whole assembly. It's called an assembly. And eventually, I'm like, cool, I'm going to find her on Facebook, because maybe I might have had her first name or something like that. But either way, I find her. And I send her a friend request, and I send her a message like, yo, what's up? She never responds, right? That's all it was, is yo, what's up? Never responds. I see her after that in school, and she's literally like pointing and talking about me and never talked to me again. But every time I would see her, she would like, oh my God, and turn her face from me and just like do everything that she could to try to ignore me. And it was clear she was having conversations with whoever she was with about me. And dude, I was so bummed. I just dropped it because I was never somebody that would like pursue a thing like that. I hated rejection. And so I just dropped it and just, you know, left it alone. But what a bummer. I don't know what that was about. If I ever see her, a headbutter right in the dome. No. But that was it. You know, I didn't really have a lot of embarrassing moments when I left Carteret and went to Woodbridge. In Woodbridge, I was actually a pretty popular guy because I was suddenly extroverted. I couldn't tell you, like, what really happened there. I don't know. What is interesting is I've been listening to Rogan lately, and he keeps talking about how people have a tendency to become dramatically different from who they were prior to a significant head injury. And so sometimes I think, because right before I left Carteret and went to Woodbridge High School, I got hit with a baseball bat and got put out like a light. So I think, I just wonder sometimes if like my new extroverted, because it was a dramatic period in my life, because my mom and I had just moved out of the house that we lived in for, you know, 9 years. We moved away from the people that I had lived with for like 9 years, and we were suddenly out on our own, living in like the hood. And then we ended up moving to a completely different town, and my mom got married to my stepdad, and, you know, so it was all this big dramatic turn of events. And so that's obvious, and I was also 15 years old, right? So that's obviously one reason, like, you're just going through all these hormones, all these, this different change, this growth, you're becoming a different person or an amplified version of who you are, plus you're going through all this kind of like a traumatic experience of leaving one lifestyle and one group of friends and one life and then going to another one. But it also was the moment that I got put out like a light with a baseball bat. And there's not very moments that I've been knocked out in my life, probably like two. You know, one time my buddy like pulled my, we used to do this game called scooping. I think we called it scooping. It wasn't really a game, but what we would do is we would grab your ankles and pull them out from underneath you. Like, we'd grab, if you had jeans on, we'd grab the fabric by your ankles and yank your feet out from underneath you and you'd fall. That happened to me, and I hit my head on a park bench that was made of concrete and went out like a light for I don't know how long. But I was pretty young. I think I was in middle school when that happened. So, you know, I think logically it's probably like an accumulation of events where it's like dramatic life change, coming of a certain age, baseball bat to the dome, and also moving allowed me to become like this different person. So it was almost like the chips were stacked in such a way that I was going to become a different person. I think that in my personal social life, I was dramatically different than I had been for my entire life. I was suddenly like the center of attention. I was like this wild man. I was, you know, funny, but I wouldn't say charming. I was only charming because I was different, and I was only different because I was acting like a wild man. And so when you're a kid, like, that's a straight route to getting chicks, is like, be the douche. I wasn't mean to anybody, but I was like outlandish. I didn't give a fuck about anything, you know. And so I also lost a lot of the ability to get embarrassed, because being embarrassed oftentimes is a result of eyes being on you for whatever just happened. But I was the center of attention so much at this point in my life that there was not much that I was afraid to be the center of attention for. And anything silly that happened, I would like own it, and I would turn it into this hilarious thing. I don't even know. Oh, so what a embarrassing moment from high school. Yeah, not many. What is something you refuse to share? My toothbrush. What are you, nasty? I'm not going to share my toothbrush with you, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about anything that... I don't know about anything particular that was... I got to pee so bad. What would be the hat to end all hats? What could you wear on your head that would make people stop what they're doing and stare in awe and amazement? I think like a top hat with antlers on it. Or another person. like a midget. Is it all right to say midget? I'm going with it, bro. Nobody listens to this show anyway. Midget. You put a midget on your head, everybody's stopping and looking. Your neck's going to get tired. They're heavy. They're dense people. You know what I mean? But people are going to turn. That's going to turn heads. They're going to look at you. That'll make people stop and stare. A living organism. You put an animal on your head. You know, put a baby horse. Newborn horse, all wet and nasty. Plop that bad boy on your head. That's going to turn heads. What is your favorite dance move to do when you're at the club? Ugh, jeez, I only have one dance move. I don't even know what it is. It's like this thing where I'll shoot a leg out to the side, and shoot a leg out to the other side, and shoot a leg out to the side, and then I'll move forward with it, and I'll move backwards with it, and I'll move forward with it, and I'll move backwards with it, and I'll move backwards some more, and move forward some more, and move backwards some more, and move forward some more, but I'll keep shooting that leg out. My friends make fun of me because when I get shit-faced and we go someplace that requires dancing, you know, that's my move. I'll do little variations, but it's always shooting that leg out to the side. And my shoulders get high. And I do my little hand circles. What would be your favorite dance move if you were at a wedding? That one. What are you, stupid? It's the same. My dance move at the wedding versus at the club is the same dance move. If animals could talk, which one would be the rudest? Cats. Of course cats would be the rudest. We love him so much. I love my cat, but he's an asshole. He just wants me to do things for him. Everything is constantly like, let me outside. Put food in my bowl. Pet me. Pet me. And then they always stare at you when you're nude. Like if you're like, you know, getting changed in the bedroom and you thought nobody was in there, think again, bro. The cat's in there and he's looking at you and he's judging you. He's judging your bod. Cats are very judgmental, very rude animals. What animal do you think would be the most polite? I mean, I feel like it's on the opposite side of the spectrum, right? It's a dog. Because everything with a dog is please, 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 please. And then thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I think that one. In 40 years, what will people be nostalgic for? 2019. What will people be nostalgic for? In 40 years, probably driving your own car will have some nostalgia to it. Because I think in 40 years, for sure, we're not doing that anymore. And in 40 years, I'll be I'll be nearly 70 years old. And I will be talking about the days I remember when I used to drive my shitty Jeep. And I'll be reminiscing about how it was always breaking down and how I always had to fix it. And nostalgic for personal human contact, you know, face-to-face human contact. I think at that point it's going to be so far removed from actual physical contact with people. I also think that we'll be nostalgic for the days when like hitting on people and having chemistry with somebody who you're into and you want to date or you want to, you know, hook up with or whatever. I think we'll be nostalgic for the days when that was very free and very open and kind of the Wild West and things were left up to mystery and body language was much more of a prominent thing. I think in 40 years, there's a chance we might have gone so far down this path that we'll be signing contracts. You know what I mean? Everything will be, you know, the only sexual interaction that you'll have at that point is with people who swiped on your picture on a dating app, and so you know what the deal is. Like, locking eyes with some stranger from across a bar or something like that, and then, like, you know, trying to put the moves on, trying to be charming, trying to be sweet, having them reciprocate, trying to read their body language, trying to say the right things, and I think that that'll be so far gone. You know, and the only people that you'll be having these interactions with are people that have already set that precedent from your very first online interaction. And so the days of just, you know, finding somebody out in the wild, it'll still happen. And when it does happen, it'll be real. I think right now we're getting to the point where that's very special to just, like, be somewhere in a coffee shop and to see somebody who you think is attractive and then to say something, you know, witty or charming, that they say something and they're funny and charming, you know, and then you have banter back and forth, and that banter is like the best part about it, you know what I mean? And then it slowly develops into something. I think we'll be missing that in 40 years for sure. What inanimate object do you wish you could eliminate from existence? Man, that's dumb and hard. I had to pee so bad. What's the most embarrassing thing you ever wore? When I was a kid, when I was in maybe middle school. Man, I went to a predominant. I lived in a predominantly black neighborhood. So let's preface this whole thing with that. So what I did was one day I had black jeans and I put a black shirt on and then I had some black sneakers and I think I even put some black gloves on. And then I went to school and anybody who bothered to talk to me that day, I told them that I was black man. I told them that I was black man, which I think speaks volumes to my lack of awareness when it came to race and things like that. But yeah, told everybody I was black man. I had a tendency to do that though, like, because it was kind of a superhero thing for me, right? Black man was a superhero. When I was younger, I had blue under, what would you call these things? Long johns? Blue long johns with a blue matching long sleeve shirt. And blue socks, and I was running around the house, and I was calling myself the Blue Python, you know. So to me, if you synchronize colors, you were halfway to being a superhero already. So that day I was black man, and I don't know how the black kids felt about that, but I certainly, in hindsight, am very embarrassed. I mean, there was a lot of embarrassing things in regards to my outfits when I was younger, because I went to a very fashion aware school, and fashion when I was younger was like, you know, hip-hop. It was very hip-hop, and so it was sagged baggy jeans with, you know, double triple XL t-shirts with fitteds, with Nike Air Force Ones, you know, all this stuff. And one, it was very expensive. Two, if you didn't have it, you were a loser. And so my school career was actually, in my younger, probably, you know, middle school especially, early high school, it's very difficult because of that fact. And so, yeah, I spent a lot of time dealing with negative feedback in regards to what I was wearing. It's kind of a bummer that school should be so fixated on what kids wear. If you were arrested with no explanation, what would your family and friends assume you had done? I don't know. I'm not really like a dude who does a lot of illegal shit, so they'd be probably pretty blown away if I got arrested, like, for fucking what? Yeah, I don't know. I was arrested one time, for alleged assault on an officer. So when I was younger and I was coming out of high school, there was this band that had just reached some popularity. It was called Waking the Cadaver. And if anybody remembers Waking the Cadaver, I strongly recommend you Google them when you get a chance. All of their vocals were done in pig squeals. I can't even really do it like a... Ooh, that really hurts, actually. So everything was done in pig squeals. Like this sharp inhale, this vocal vibration thing. And one of my buddies was like heavy into it. He was like a punk kid. And, you know, when you're punk and you're young, everything is about the most obscure band at the moment, which is annoying as shit. It's why I never really... It's why my musical taste is so vanilla right now is because I had so much of a negative experience when it came to my musical preferences, because so many musical genres when you're younger is like, oh, that's cool. You listen to them. They're mainstream. What about this obscure band who really isn't even that good, but is very cool to know about? And that just turned me off so much. So I was like a punk kid for a little bit until it was like Leftover Crack, Anthrax, you know, Rancid were not good enough. They were mainstream. And so you needed to know something deeper and more obscure. It's very annoying. So my buddy's into this Waking the Cadaver band. We're leaving high school, walking across the street to this supermarket parking lot where a lot of us would like hang out afterwards, and he's making these pig squeals. He's making these pig squeals as we're crossing the road, and the crossing guard is allowing us to, you know, it's kind of a rainy day, so crossing guard's got like a poncho on or whatever. And I notice that when I get to the other side of the street, my buddy's not with me anymore. So I turn around, and I see that the crossing guard has him pinned up against the wall and is yelling in his face. I don't know what to do, but to me the reaction is like, don't leave him, because everybody else has continued to walk because nobody else noticed what's going on. And I try to draw attention to it, but they were already interacting with the group. They didn't hear me, so I just stood there like cross-armed, just staring at the situation go down. So he's yelling in my buddy's face, and he sees that I'm standing there with, like, discontent on my face, right? And he suddenly turns to me, and he goes, "Do you got something to say?" And so in my mind, I scramble for something cool to say, which is not cool at all. And I go, "Yeah, man, you can't touch him like that," which is probably actually, you know, a reasonable thing to say. So he walks over to me and grabs me by the collar and starts dragging me back across to school. Unbelievably wild. Walks up, grabs me by the collar, starts dragging me. And this was during a time where it was very cool to wear whoever you were dating, girls often had a gold nameplate. It's like a gold chain with a gold nameplate with their name, like, written in script. I'm wearing that because it was a thing that you did at the time. You wore your girlfriend's stuff to be like, "Look, this is I'm dating this girl." So he's pulling on my collar, but he's effectively pulling on this chain as well. And I could feel this chain, like, clinking, like getting ready to snap. So I, like, grab his wrist and somehow, like, get it off of me, you know, get his hand off of me, and I start walking in the opposite direction. I just walk away from him. He spins me around and grabs me by my shirt and starts yelling in my face. I don't know what he was saying, because at this point I'm so angry. He's way taller than me, right? But I fucking grab him by his poncho, dig low, and scoop him up into the air. And then, you know, he's really heavy, and it was so he's just tilts in the air. And so I take that and drop him on his head in front of everybody. It turns out when he hits the ground and his poncho flips open and stuff, he's a cop. But I didn't see that. He wasn't wearing a hat. And he had this big orange poncho or yellow poncho on. It's completely, all you could see was his boot sticking out of the bottom. I thought he was a crossing guard. But I was so angry in this moment, I pick him up, I drop him on his head. And everybody starts yelling, "He's a cop, he's a cop." But all I can hear is the word "cop." So I go, "Yeah, somebody call the cops, somebody call the cops." And he gets up and I might be remembering things out of sequence. People might have realized he was a cop before me and have been saying that before I dropped him. So if that was the way things went, then yeah, people were yelling as he was grabbing me and I was grabbing him. People were yelling like, "Dave, he's a cop, he's a cop." I couldn't hear that. All I heard was "cop." So I was like, "Dad, call the cops, call the cops." So, you know, and then I picked him up in the air and I dropped him on his head. And I turn around and I'm looking at everybody like, "What is going on? This is insane." And he gets up and everybody points at him and he moves his poncho to the side. I see his gun. You know, I see a bunch of stuff on his belt. I realize immediately that he's a cop and he's going for his handcuffs. So he grabs his handcuffs. I immediately go to my knees and I put my hands, you know, above my head or something like that. I just knew what to do. I just fucking immediately made it to, like, "Oh, dude, this is..." But at that point, I thought it was this hilarious thing. So I'm, like, in the back of the, you know, he's handcuffing me. I'm looking at all my friends because it's my, you know, it's a lot of my friends, you know, my audience, right? And so I'm, like, making faces at him and everything, like, "This is crazy." And he puts me in the back of the cop car, and I'm, like, in the window, like, you know, and he takes me to the police station. So what ends up happening is, you know, they try to interrogate me or whatever, but the story is what the story is. I didn't know he was a cop. He put his hands on me. I defended myself. It's that simple. He was yelling in my friend's face. He physically had my buddy up against the wall. He's yelling in his face, and then, you know, he comes over to me, and that's how the story unfolds. It's a very simple path, so there wasn't any lying. It was this dude overreacted. So he calls my mom, and my mom comes to pick me up, or, you know, she comes to the police station, and she immediately, I don't remember what she said, I just know that she was like, "My son's not stupid. He didn't beat up a cop. What the fuck happened here that you're not telling me?" You know? And so we do the back and forth. She asks me, I ask, you know, I explain my side of the story to her, and you know, there was no lying. It is what it is. He put his hands on me. I didn't know he was a cop. And I tried to resist, go away from him, avoid the situation. He came back, he grabbed me again, and I fucking dropped him. And you know that he was in the wrong, because the way I got out of that was I had to write a certain X amount of word essay on why it is not okay to assault an officer. So I had to go home and go on the computer and type up an essay on why I am fully aware that it's not okay to assault an officer. And, you know, and then I had to send that in or whatever. But it's also my understanding that some parents who were picking up their kids from school that day saw the entire situation and issued complaints against him. And so I never saw him again, at least not at school. I saw him, like, guarding a construction site one day, like, you know, how the police just stand there for the construction site. But yeah, I got out of that entire thing. If I was black, I probably wouldn't have got out of that. So, what are we at here? I mean, I'm looking so bad, I can't see this timestamp. Oh, wait, I can see this timestamp if I go here, right? No, I can't. Oh, no, I can't. All right, well, we're going to start wrapping this up, so let's get to the second half of this thing. I'm going to pee myself, dude. This is such a bummer. So we're going to go to, like, more personal, a little bit more serious questions. What are the highest and lowest points of your life? So the highest point is probably right now. I'm very happy. I have a wife. I have a son. You know, I've got a good job. I've got the podcast. I've got good friends, you know, good relationships with my family and everything. And so, you know, I'm healthy. I think right now would be the highest point in my life, which is good. I'm happy about that. The lowest point in my life was probably when I was homeless. And I was only homeless because I was an idiot, because I didn't want to... Oh my god, I want to pee myself. Ooh. I didn't want to go to school, and I didn't want to get a job. And so my mom was like, if you don't want to go to school and you don't want to get a job, you're going to have to leave. And I don't know if she was, like, calling my bluff, but I'm such an idiot that I was just like, okay, bro. So I, you know, went out into the streets, and I slept on a buddy's sofa for a little while, and then I made it to some other dude's house who was, like, a heroin addict, but he went to jail very soon after I moved in with my cousin, and then we just had this house, but we didn't keep up with the bills, so the house eventually fell apart. The power went off, the heat went off, everything went off. Winter came, it was brutal. You know, it's an abandoned home. It was just as cold outside as it was inside. You know, I was going through a bunch of dark stuff, doing a bunch of highly illegal crap, getting into a lot of trouble, and I was, like, contemplating suicide all the time and shit like that. It was a huge bummer. But, so that was probably the lowest point of my life. How have your strengths helped you to succeed? How have your faults hindered you? So my strengths are probably communication, you know, just talking to people, getting people to like me. I don't know. That's helped me tremendously, because I've not been able to do much of anything alone. You know what I mean? It's always been with the help. And I don't think you really get through life doing things alone. You know, you need people. We need people. And so a lot of the relationships that I've made that have helped me in life have been because of my ability to communicate and not come off as a douchebag. How have your faults hindered you? Procrastination. I put everything off too much. I have a tendency to half-ass things. And so that's been a major downfall of mine. Just, you know, putting things off, and then when I do things, I don't do them 100%, and so obviously that's going to be a major hindrance. What are your biggest goals for life? What progress have you made for in attaining them? Well, my biggest goals are to be a good husband and a good dad, and so that's like a daily thing, right? You just try to, I mean, I use my strengths in that regard, so I communicate as best I can, and I think it kind of shows, because if you look at my son, his ability to articulate and his happiness and his lack of fear of other people and his friendliness, you know, I think it's important to have your child be likable from other adults, because what I learned in life is, like, if adults don't like you, you're pretty fucked, you know, unless you've got some, like, massive work ethic where you're just, like, this nose to the grindstone character. Nobody likes you, but it doesn't matter because you're plowing through everything and smashing goals. Well, okay, that's cool, but if not, then it's going to be the relationships that you make. And so you have to be likable by adults. You have to have adults have your back. And other kids, obviously. You have to have good friends that have your back. And so the number one compliment that I get about my son everywhere we go is, like, he's so kind. He's so sweet. He's so happy. You know, he's so friendly. And also, I think he's very well-spoken, you know, which I think is going to take him a long way. And then, of course, with my wife, it's like our arguments are hilarious. Like if we have arguments, they're nearly non-existent. We have little tiffs. That's a word, right? We have little tiffs about things occasionally. It's usually my fault. I'm usually like, don't want to do the dishes or some shit like that. But we never have these deep issues, and we never have like distrust issues. None of that shit, because we're entirely open with each other. We communicate very well, and we trust each other. And so, and then outside of that stuff, my biggest goals for life are like make this show good, and have it potentially. You know, if you have a dream, my dream is to have this show be somehow my source of income. Which, you know, is an incredibly long shot, but it's still, you know, you got to have goals, you got to have dreams. And so, and the progress that I've made in attaining them is just like trying to be consistent, keep getting on here, try to provide a better show, you know, edit, fix the audio, things of that nature. There's always little things that need to be tweaked, but just keep going, you know, be consistent. That procrastination and that lack of doing things 100% are the thing that I'm constantly battling when it comes to this, when it comes to anything. And so, you know, it's an uphill battle against that constantly. But so far, it's brought me a tremendous amount of joy and a tremendous amount of satisfaction. And it's something to look forward to and to shoot for and to try to achieve. And so that would be one of those things. What is holding you back from being the person that you want to be? Like I said, it's just the procrastination and the half-assing, you know. And time. I think you have to be patient. I'm not a very patient person. I'm trying to work on that, but I think that you need to have patience, because right now I'm on a pretty solid path to becoming the person that I want to be. The only thing in that formula that I can't really alter or do anything about is the time that it takes to get there. And so that'll come. Where's your life headed? I don't know. Death? Isn't that where everybody said, how do you think you will die, is the next question. I don't know. I don't think it'll be, you know, I'm not going to die of diabetes, because I don't really eat sweets. I don't eat carbs. I don't drink soda. I drink a lot of water. I eat, you know, meat and veggies, and I'll slip up and have carbs and sweets occasionally, but I always get back and kind of course correct. I'm a pretty active person. So as far as like my body atrophying and shit like that, I mean, everybody gets the health end of the stick at some point. And so obviously there's no avoiding that. But I don't think I'm going to die in some crazy way, although you really can't account for that, right? I could die in a car accident tomorrow. But I would say likely, you know, I'll get old and I'll die of some health complication, most likely. But, you know, I don't think there's anything tremendous in store for me where some bizarre fucking thing happens or I, you know, get butt cancer. Although, you know, you can't, but cancer happens, I guess. How would you react if there was irrefutable proof that God doesn't exist? How about if there was okay, so if God does exist or if God doesn't exist. If there was irrefutable proof that God doesn't exist, I probably would not behave much differently. I don't know. I don't operate as if there's a higher power. And that's not to say that I don't believe that there is one or there isn't one. I just kind of am agnostic in the sense of, like, I don't have any proof. I'm not, like, some highly intelligent person who's done a tremendous amount of research or had epiphanous moments or experiences in my life. And so you put all that into a pile and you just go, fucking, so I don't know. Don't know anything. So I probably wouldn't act very differently. And if I found out there was a God, I probably still wouldn't act very differently, although I might start, like, praying. Or something like that. You know, to say that there's a God, is that God the one of the fucking Bible? I don't know. But to know that there would potentially be something listening, yeah, I might start, like, praying. You know, to just kind of put my wants out into the universe. If that's even what you're supposed to do. I mean, who says you're supposed to do that? I don't know. Human nature questions. Is human nature constant, or is it molded by the culture? Can human nature be completely changed by culture or society? I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, right? Human nature is a factor, and society and culture is a factor. And so society and culture is probably a result of human nature. But then society and culture can kind of get to a point where it's not really independent of human nature, but it has variations from other societies and cultures that I don't know what they're indicative of. It could be environmental, it could be happenstance, just the way something happened historically just kind of caused a branch off of that timeline or that historical path, that cultural path, and then it went deeper and deeper down that road. But it's 50-50. It's not entirely, is human nature constant or is it molded by culture? Human nature is constant until it's molded by culture. So until something intercepts it. But even so, the culture that has changed in such a way that it can affect human nature was changed by human nature. You know, maybe mental disaster that happened. But then even our, like, if to, like, all right, let's take, like, an older civilization that went so far because of human nature, and then a volcano, you know, went off. And that immense fear of why that happened caused us to decide that, you know, the volcano was a wrath. It was the wrath of God. And so everything that we did from that point on was based off of how it would affect this vengeful or this wrathful God. Well, that's still human nature because it was in our nature to interpret it that way for whatever reason. Anything that we do is human nature because we are humans. And so everything that we do is human nature. It's not giraffe nature. It's not anything else. It's human nature. Anything that we decide or do is human nature. It's just... are humans better at creation or destruction? I mean, we have the capacity to create immense, awesome, you know, life-changing, planet-changing things, but we're better at destruction because it's easier to destroy things. You know, if you give me a fucking... a puzzle and you go put the puzzle together or set it on fire. Well, what's easier? It's way easier to set the puzzle on fire. So we're always going to be better at destroying things because to destroy is significantly easier. You could take a treehouse and make a treehouse and spend all this time measuring and cutting wood and planning and plotting and you know, making blueprints if you want to go to that extent and to build this treehouse up and make something awesome. But how long does that take? Okay, now how long does it take to take a sledgehammer, an axe, and a book of matches to that bad boy? You could spend an entire summer making a treehouse. That would be pretty cool by the end of the summer. You could spend one day destroying it. One day. We're going to be better at destruction every time because destroying is just easier to do. But you look in the animal kingdom, it's the same thing. How long does it take for an elephant to gestate, right? They have the longest gestation period of any mammal. It's like 2 years or something it takes for them to give birth. Okay, 2 years. How long does it take for a lion to come over and eat that baby? They're going to tear that baby apart in one day. So it's the same thing. It's not even just humans, you know. It's the nature of most things. It's, you know, the lifetime of a planet or a star is whatever, billions and billions and trillions, some unfathomable number of years of existence. But how long does it take that star to go supernova? I saw a video today. It was like, check out this star 500 million light years away. Go supernova. And it was like, and that was it. It was done. But how long did it take for that planet to form, to live, or that star to form, to live whatever? I don't know. I don't know. I just, to me, it's everything. It's easier to destroy. So that's a kind of a, what's the best and worst parts of human nature? The best is our ability for creation, our capacity for creation and empathy and compassion. And the worst parts is the destruction. But I guess for all things, right, that's kind of this weird philosophical thing, because for anything to start, the previous thing must end. So destruction is part of creation, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, and it really depends on what you're talking about, because morality is something that's set by human beings. There's no morality in the animal kingdom. You know, that baby elephant that took 2 years worth of gestation to come to existence, or at least, you know, to come out into the world as we see it, that lion has no, there's no morality issue with eating that elephant. You know, we're the only things that have a best and a worst in a lot of ways. I mean, I imagine that for the animal kingdom, it's really only a matter of their own life, sustaining their own life, existing, surviving. And so if you want to attach morality to that, it's like it's good to live, it's bad to die. You know, so it's really hard to say what's the best and worst part of human nature, because we're the only things that put a best and worst on it. But if you put it to us, it's our capacity for destruction is terrible. You know, nobody likes to see war-torn areas with children missing limbs and crying and shit. But then, you know, those videos where somebody picks this stray dog up off the curb where it looks like it's dying, it's malnourished, it's on its last limb. And then all of a sudden, a couple of months later, it's this beautiful husky. I don't know if anybody's seen, there's a video out there or a set of photos out there. The dog's not even identifiable as a husky initially. It's terrifying. It just looks so terrible. It's so sad. And then, you know, the guy cleans it and feeds it and gives it a haircut and gives it exercise and love, and beautiful husky in the end. You would never know that these two dogs are the same animal. So, obviously, without getting too philosophical and too deep on what is morality, the best parts of human nature is our capacity for compassion and creation and love, and the worst part is our capacity for destruction. Is terrible. But that's the same fucking question. If pressing a button meant you received $5 million but also killed five people somewhere in the world, would you press it? What if it only killed one person or killed 20 people? What if the people were people you knew? No. God, no. Never killing anybody for $5 million. It's not happening. That's not the way I want to make my money. That's not something that I could look. But when it's all said and done, I think it's about what you look back on and what you did, like the sum total of your life and your achievements. Whether or not there's a God and shit at the end of the goddamn tunnel is one thing. But I think you still have to answer yourself. You still have to look yourself, you know, in your mind's eye and look back kind of the sum total of the things that you did. What are the things that you remember? And on your deathbed, when the $5 million doesn't matter anymore, but you took five people away from somebody, or if it was a gamble, a flip of the coin, heads it kills one person, tails it kills 20 people, you took somebody away from someone, or you took 20 people away from somebody, or you took five people away from somebody, and the money doesn't matter anymore. But that's what you did. That's your legacy. You know, no. I don't think so. I would much rather make the $5 million somehow, through hard work, through relationships, through hustle and grind, and, you know, overcoming adversity and ha-la-la-la-la-la. I would much rather look back on that. You know, because it's not just about the $5 million at that point. It's about the relationships that you made, the things that you overcame, the example that you set, the legacy that you left behind. That's, to me, way more significant than fucking killing people. That's like putting in the cheat codes into Grand Theft Auto, you know, whatever, and then not wanting to play anymore because the story, what's the point of doing the story? You have all the money, you know, you have all the armor, you've got all the guns, you've got the fast cars. It just doesn't... I don't want to do that. If you had to sum up the whole human species in three words, what would it be? Not me. Not me, bruh. That's it. Not me, bruh. I'm not doing that. Who the fuck am I? I'm going to put some philosophical tagline on the human race. I'm good, dude. I'm not that deep. What aspects of human have made us a successful species? It's our ability to innovate and improvise and come up with and you know, create solutions that are not the evolutionary solutions that we've had previously, you know, where it's like a lion is what's the solutions? Eat it or run from it. Eat it or run from it. Eat it or run from it. Not us. Eat it, run from it, be friends with it, trap it, convince it of something else, distract it, communicate with it. What's the word? Where you domesticate it, you know, create an allyship with it. Disregard it entirely and go over here and do something else. That's our ability to innovate and think outside of the kind of the evolutionary steps that everything else seems to be adhered to that we're not. I'm gonna pee. Is what we perceive reality or just a construct of our minds? Can our minds correctly interpret reality, or is reality subjective? Bruh, come on. I'm not doing that to you guys. I'm not doing that to me right now. So I think that's about it. I had fun. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Thank you to everybody who's in the chat, who was tagging along. You know, thank you for listening to Where I Belong. Head over to iTunes, head over to Spotify, head over to YouTube. Leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. That stuff all helps me. It's all a numbers game, guys. You know what I mean? If I want this show to get big, then I've got to try to create a good show. And if you think the show is good, then you're really helping me by going and saying something. And if you think that it's not good, that's fine. Leave a review. Explain why it's not good. Maybe there's something that I haven't noticed that I have to work on. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't know a thing needs fixing until somebody tells you. Head over to Facebook and Instagram at Where I Belong Podcast. Head over to Twitter at Where I Belong P. And head over to whereibelongpodcast.com. You'll have access to everything that I've ever done, all the videos, all the audio. You'll have access to all my links. Thank you to my Patreon subscribers. I just beat my first goal of $30 a month for my show. I'm officially at $37 a month for my show. I'm making $37 a month off this show, which, you know, it may be a number, but you can't put a number on it. To me, it's amazing that I can make any money off of this thing that I enjoy doing. That brings me a whole bunch of joy. That brings me a whole bunch of satisfaction. It means the world to me. That anybody likes it enough to throw money at it is phenomenal. So thank you guys so much, everybody on Patreon who supports me. And we'll set another goal, and we'll see if we can't make it there. But if you go to whereibelongpodcast.com, you will have access to all the links, including the Patreon. If you want to support the show, you could do it for as little as $1 a month or even a one-time donation. And if you want to toss 10 grand at me a month, we could do that too. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for rating and subscribing. Thank you guys for following me on social media and interacting. And just thank you for your time. So until my next episode, peace out, guys. Mwah.